Welcome to Logan City Christian Church Podcast, where we bring God's Word to you weekly. We pray what you hear will bring clarity to your situation and open doors in your life. Enjoy the message.
And last week we were in Isaiah chapter 40, and we're not going to turn there because I'm just going to quickly go over it. But Isaiah 40 we focused on verse 31, and it talks about, I'll read it. It says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." When it says that they shall run and not be weary, do you know there's a grace and an anointing to continue on when we should fail and fall? There are always times in our life that we will come to a point where our own sufficiency is not enough. Can I take it one step further, that those who are called, those who are living for God, have no strength within themselves to live the Christian life. Now think about that for a second. We are saved, born again. We are made a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All right. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues. And that there is a power that resides in us because of the Holy Spirit. And now we see that in Acts, that when Philip went down to Samaria, that they saw the miracles that were done, and they all received the gospel. But then later on, Peter and John came down and they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit later. And so we go through this journey in life where we get saved, then we get baptized with the Holy Spirit. And not only are we a new creation, we're a creation that has this energy, a power. Like, it's heaven is inside of me. But as the journey continues, the devil's always going to put roadblocks and obstacles in the way, and we'll go good and then something will happen. And there comes a point in every believer's life where my wisdom and my strength is not enough. See, Jesus says in John chapter 15, he says, "I am the true vine and you are the branches." And he goes on to say that every branch that abides in me, I will abide in him. He goes later on to say that if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Hallelujah. Now, if the words of Jesus are true, which they are, I'm not saying they're not, they're true, that it takes us as a branch, so to speak, to line up with the words of Jesus, that it takes me as a Christian, that I am following the word of the Lord, I'm getting before him, and that if I do that, I am coming before God not to tick a religious box, but I'm coming to God saying, "Lord, I'm nothing but an empty vessel which you have sanctified and cleaned, and I'm here to be filled with your anointing for this life that I am now living." And boy, I tell you what, church, if I've ever come to this realization of what I've just said, it's been probably the last month more than ever that my cry at home and my cry at the prayer meetings is, Lord, I need you so much in my life. God, what you have for me to do is far greater than what I could ever imagine. What I can do, what I can think, what I need doesn't come from my surroundings or my resources. It comes from heaven. And so when we read in Isaiah chapter 40, but those who wait on the Lord, not just attend church. Church attendance is great. I believe it's a must for every believer. Not to those who listen to sermons every day of the week. Not to those that are seeking out prophecies every day. Not to those that... those who wait on the Lord. Church, we need to be in close fellowship with God. Have to. There's no other way. When we had that move of God a few months ago, as amazing as that was, the following 2 weeks after that, I felt lost. Because one, I knew that it was nothing that we had ever done here. It wasn't man-made, it wasn't manufactured, it was a sovereign move of God. And because I knew it was sovereign, like, Lord, what do I do now? Nothing beats being in your presence like that. God, out the way that the body of Christ over the years has established how to run a church service, and there's nothing wrong with that. But God, what my heart desires is just for you to take over. And so I felt lost. I remember one prayer meeting 2 weeks later, after when the Holy Spirit moved, the cry in my heart was like, Lord, what do we do? I need your instruction. I need to hear your voice. And he said, I want to search every room of your heart. Now, those that have been at the prayer meetings, that they've heard this before. I want to search every room of your heart. Open every door and allow me to go in. Every room that has a shut door because of shame. That, Lord, don't go there. How about we just leave that? And the second thing was, he says, everything that I've told you to do and you've sort of put on the shelf, I want you to start addressing. And when I received this revelation, this instruction from the Lord, it brought life into my soul. Because I knew that when the Holy Spirit speaks so clearly, that good things will come if we obey. Now this morning, if you're here and or watching online and you've been sitting on the fence for quite some time, now is a great time to go all in for the Lord. He's up to something. He's up to something good. That there is a praying people here in this church. The Holy Spirit is stirring. And He wants everybody to be a partaker in the blessing, in the power, and in the mighty works that the Holy Spirit is going to do. So the Holy Spirit said, I want to search every room of your heart. Don't leave anything undone. If you have to write a list of everything that you're facing and everything that's wrong and everything that might be not right in the sight of the Lord, write it down. Lord, here's my list. I've opened every door of my heart to you. And then come diligently, come faithfully before the Lord. That as it says in Isaiah, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That there is an ability for us to do what we can't in the natural. That as we wait on God, it's coming, Lord, I'm coming. I don't have the ability, but I'm here because you do. That all I am is just this empty vessel. Waiting for your power, for your presence, for your glory to be in my life. That as we wait on the Lord, we're coming to Him, knowing that God is faithful. And because God is faithful, we can come to Him with a heart of faith, knowing and expecting, God, you're going to move on my behalf. God, you will move. Church, there is nothing better in this world than having the presence and power of God in our lives. Let me tell you, if you're here and you're distracted by the world, there's nothing better that the world can give us. Nothing comes close. Everything is just pretty lights and a false facade, and behind it all is death and darkness. That's all the world has to offer. But in Christ, there is everything. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, Galatians chapter 5. That was a pretty long intro. Galatians 5, verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Can I just say, how many times do we do the things that we don't wish to do? You know the answer to that is walk in the Spirit. God, I've got such a busy day, but the most important part of my day is being with you. Walking in the Spirit. Because it says, walk in the Spirit and we shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That every door that we open in our heart, and that things that way we may struggle with, that when we start abiding in Christ, when we start coming before God, when we start waiting on the Lord, when we come to that point in our life that I am insufficient, I really don't have anything, but God, your Spirit in me. Oh Lord, church, if we can come to that point of surrender, boy, will we see things change. Chains will fall off. Things that we've struggled with for years get dealt with. And there is such freedom. Praise God. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and of the like, which, and there's a lot more. of which I told you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let me just clarify something here. When it says that those who practice it is those who choose to do it and think it's okay. That there is the intent of the heart is behind their sin, if that makes sense. Where there are people that are struggling, there is the grace of God, absolutely. Where you could be here and, Lord, my mouth gets me into trouble every second of the day, but God, I know it's wrong and I'm coming to you, that there would be a day where my tongue is bridled. Or, Lord, what I watch is just horrific, but God, I'm coming to you and I'm not making excuses for my sin, but Lord, as I wait on you, I need help. God, there is no excuse and I'm coming before you with accountability. That is different to what the scripture here is saying. Now, moving on, verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of what? The Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, in verse 19 and verse 22, Apostle Paul is bringing out here a difference in two types of evidence, I guess you could say, that might be in a person's life. There is the evidence, or as he says, fruit of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. But then he goes later on to say in verse 22 that there is a total opposite evidence in someone's life for those who are connected and walking in the Spirit. And so when we are walking in the Spirit, it's not because we said, sorry, Lord, and then said, God, I'm never going to sin again. That doesn't work. How many of us have said that and failed the next day? There's three honest people in the house of God this morning. But I've been there once, I've been there 1,000 times. And it is not by saying sorry and in our mind thinking I'm never going to do it again. Because the scripture says the total opposite. Apostle Paul is giving us a beautiful key to walk in victory. He's saying it's not in our strength, but it's in the Spirit. Church, for those of us here this morning, for those of us online that get before God and God, I wait on you. That is the key for someone to walk in the Spirit. For that person that waits on God and has the Word of God out and is searching the Scriptures because it is bread, it is life to my very being. Oh, God is doing something good in that person. I can guarantee you. That person that seeks God, that puts God before the busyness of life, that understands that in Him alone is all the goodness and the fullness of joy, that is a person that is walking in the Spirit. I can recount the amount of times where, and I'll give you one example, where I was, when in my truck driving days, I used to listen to YouTube like truck driving's boring, gee whiz. So I listened to YouTube, right? I'd play sermons off of my phone, come through the truck speakers, and there would be moments where listening to great men of God preach the word, and there's such an anointing in what they're saying, and you feel the presence of God in the cab of the truck, and it's amazing. But I never got before God myself. And the mistake I made was I always relied on these men of God and their sermons to sort of pick me up, and that anointing that I would feel, that it was like living off 2-minute noodles, so to speak, when if I just got before the presence of God, He had a 3-course meal waiting for me. And so, church, our success, the secret to spiritual success, is connecting with God ourselves. See, everything that we do in laziness never really produces anything. Tell me one thing that laziness has produced that's good in our lives. Nothing. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. A disciplined one. One that hears the teachings of the Lord and does them. See, James says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. See, I sat in the presence of God in that truck, but I was just a hearer. Never put anything into practice. And so I never really had any results in my life. But church, the moment I started getting before the Lord, and God, you are so precious to my life. God, you are my all in all. Without you, I have nothing. My life changed. When I could consistently get before the Lord, I started bearing the fruit of the Spirit and not the evidence of the flesh. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 6 says this. And I just want to really encourage you. I feel like what's going to separate the church of Jesus Christ from other churches is a praying church. A church that actually knows the voice of the Lord. And we have prayer meetings every Tuesday from 6 p.m., every Thursday morning, 9 a.m., and every Thursday night from 6:30 p.m. And that's great. Please, can I encourage you to come, because they're powerful. We are in the presence of God every meeting. We have broken through, and it's just amazing. But to add on top of that, if we are only praying on a Tuesday or a Thursday, that's sort of not what Jesus is after. As good as it is, and corporate prayer is amazing, but Jesus says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Church, what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 goes hand in hand with Isaiah, that those who wait upon the Lord, those who come into the secret place where God is, where God is, I sort of wonder and think, God, you've always been waiting for me in the secret place. How many beautiful moments have I missed in my life because I was too busy or too lazy or too distracted? Me, Pastor Gus. How many beautiful moments have I missed? See, in the secret place, it's a place where we get to know God and we get to receive from God. Can I say that again? We get to know God and we get to receive from God. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. It's amazing to be a preacher or a musician or an evangelist or all these things, but it means nothing if we don't know God. Coming to church and being with each other and enjoying each other's company, encouraging each other is amazing. But the whole reason we gather together is because we should know God. That is our corporate bond. That's what brings us together, the Spirit of God in me and the Spirit of God in you, that we know God, we fellowship with God throughout the week. When we come through these doors, that corporate anointing is so strong because we know God. Amen. All of my breakthroughs, let me just say this, and if I can grab your attention for one sec, all of my breakthroughs in my life have been because I met with God. And I kept meeting with God, and I didn't give up on meeting with God until I got my breakthrough. Every single time. Every revival that took place on the face of the earth, from the book of Acts right till to the very last ones, is people sought God. They met with God. Nothing else. They didn't write books. They didn't get degrees. They didn't go to 6 different Bible colleges. Now, all those things are good. They didn't open a bookstore. They didn't buy every book in the bookstore and watch every sermon that's on YouTube. They didn't listen to every prophecy that's out there. These people knew God. And church, we are at a point in our life, we need to know our God. We have to. There is no option. If you're lacking here this morning in your prayer life, and you know you're not where you should be with God, by the grace of God, can I encourage you? God loves you. His plan for you is amazing. And it doesn't matter what's happened in the past, today is a new day in Jesus Christ. Can I encourage you? Seek God. Get excited for God. Get excited for what He wants to do in your life. And if you come before Him, get before the Lord, wait on the Lord, then the freshness of God will fill you. Every bit of dead weight will be gone. Hallelujah. Last scripture, Hebrews 4, verse 14. I love this part of Hebrews. It always encourages me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, 15, and 16. Says this, seeing then that we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Who's our high priest? Jesus is our high priest. Hallelujah. So hold on to that, because 15 and 16 make sense because Jesus is our high priest. All right. So because Jesus, the Son of God, is our high priest, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest, which is Jesus, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Right? So He understands what we go through. Was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Now, Jesus, our high priest, right, understands what we go through in life. So one, that encourages me. Our life can be up and down and up and down and up and down when we're good, and then something bad happens and we're down and all that, and we go good for a while, then we might sin and then we get back up and then we're going again, and we might think, God, what's the point? Do you even believe in me anymore? But Jesus, our high priest, understands. Hallelujah. I praise God for that. He is understanding. Yet He passed the test. Because He passed the test, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. The throne of what? Grace. Does that mean we deserve to be there? No, but because of grace, we can. Amen. And so it says, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Boy, do we need mercy, and find grace to help in our time of need. Church, if you are looking for a fresh start this morning, come boldly to the throne of grace.
Thank you for joining us. We pray God's richest blessing on your life. If you haven't already, make sure to join us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also find us at logancitychristianchurch.com. See you next week.